Welcome to this message on South Haven's podcast from South Haven Church with the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm inviting you to check us out at southhavenchurch.org. This message and other messages can be found on our website or on our South Haven Church app for iOS and Android. And now for a message of hope.
We started last weekend talking about a little series on habits. As you can see, there are small disciplines, big results. Talked about how we desire to feed the good things and kind of starve the bad things. And we find if we begin to feed those good habits, that really becomes the thing that overwhelms the bad habits. You know, really what we determined and what we found out is what you feed is what grows. And you feed healthiness and you feed all those good spiritual disciplines that we so need. Those are the things that grow. As I was thinking about habits this week, and as I was preparing, I was reading an article online that brought this home to about habits in a great way. Actually, last week there was a large bank that you would know, nationally bank, actually that was got into some tweeting with an individual. Actually, it was a customer of the bank. So you're like, it's kind of weird, isn't it, that organizations like a bank is tweeting. So someone is tweeting on behalf of the bank. And so the conversation was back and forth on Twitter with this bank and this customer. And finally, at one point, the conversation got to a point of where they got to talking about people financially struggling financially. And the guy from the bank that was tweeting on behalf of the bank tweeted back to the customer something like this. And he says, well, those who are struggling financially could save money by making coffee at home and eating the food in your fridge instead of eating out. Now, you know, to me, I don't know about you, but that made some sense to me. You know, like if I'm having some financial struggles, I need to stay away from Starbucks and I eat my leftovers, okay? And so that just kind of made sense. But you understand, we don't live in a culture that thinks like that. You know what we live in? We live in the age of outrage, okay? So where everybody has something to say about something. And in the age of outrage, there was all kinds of people started getting in on Twitter slamming the bank, calling them poor shaming. You're poor. You're shaming the poor. I'm like, my goodness, man. I thought it was being frugal. So anyway, here's the interesting thing is that you might have heard of a man named Dave Ramsey. Now, Dave Ramsey is overseas. He's the founder of Financial Peace University, which we provide here at South Haven. Dave Ramsey, he's a believer. Dave Ramsey, I don't know how he gets involved in this, but Dave Ramsey gets involved. Dave Ramsey gave a tweet, and he said this: I don't always agree with this bank's practices, but all of us should be open to having our bad habits called out so we can live better lives. I was like, way to go, Dave. You know, he said, you know, at some point, we just need to be reminded of our bad habits. And you know what he said? And he added the tagline, so we could live better lives. You know what I'm here to do today? I'm just tell you here, let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to call out your bad habits, okay? Maybe you're waiting for that, so just be rest assured. But I'm going to tell you this, the Holy Spirit is already doing it. I don't have to, okay? So you just let the Holy Spirit. So here's what we find, is that if you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal some things in your life that shouldn't be there, and you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to remind you of the things that should be there, and you begin to feed the things that need to be fed and starve the things that need to be starved. And when you begin to do that, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find small disciplines that yield big results, and you're going to have a better life. I'm going to tell you, it just works that way. You feed what needs to be fed, that's the good stuff. You starve what needs to be starved, that's the bad stuff. And ultimately, it comes down to this, that those healthy habits are going to emerge, raise up in your life. And just like Ramsey said, leads to better lives. That's where we find ourselves today. You know what? This time does not allow for us to touch on all the habits that we should be talking about. And all those small disciplines, big results. You know, actually, I've got a book on spiritual disciplines. You know, they list 17 or 18. You know what? And I don't even think that's exhaustive. Okay? So where do you start and where do you stop and how much do you do? Well, here, we're going to look at this one today. And you've already got the word. You already know what's going on. You've been in the church. You've seen saw the lobby. We've talked about it. And you say, oh, ho-hum. It's about serving. Well, it does become something that Jesus spoke about and Paul spoke about, and it's crucial to the life and the body of God's church. So I remember that first time I went to a symphony. You remember? I remember that symphony. So Amy and I go to the Shreveport Symphony. We're living in right outside of Shreveport, Louisiana, and the Shreveport Symphony. First time, it was pretty eye-opening. You know, it was different. I'd never done anything like this. It was a lot classier than what I thought it was going to be. You know, it was all those things. But here's what I noticed as I go into the symphony, and I get in there. Now, you've seen enough on television. You don't have to go to a symphony to know this is the protocol at symphony, but this is what happens. So we get in there, we take our seats, and then this thing starts happening, that all these orchestra players and all these guys, they start coming in with all their instruments and they sit down and they kind of filter in one after another. Some kind of get up and leave. Some are yawning. Some are coughing. They're kind of doing their own thing. And then some will pick up their instruments and they start playing and doing these weird tunes and stuff like that. And it's this whole warm-up process and they're kind of getting themselves ready. They're getting their instruments ready and they're ready for something that's going to be bigger, that's going to be coming. So you kind of know that process, and actually it sounds here. I've got an audio clip for you I want you to listen to. This is a symphony warming. Now, honestly, if you had never been to a symphony, if you've never heard anything that sounded really good in music, and you heard that, you think, well, that's not too bad. I think I could listen to that for about an hour maybe. I don't know. Could you? I don't know if you could. That's not too bad, but that was just the warm-up. There's something unique that happens right after this. And that's when this conductor walks on stage and everything changes. So the conductor, it's almost like he doesn't say anything. He doesn't look at everybody and say, you guys, you ready? Or he doesn't do anything. He walks on stage and immediately everyone understands what they're supposed to do. And they're not supposed to do any type of haphazard playing and all this kind of mess or anything like that. They realize, I've got music before me and you're going to tell me and show me exactly what to do. And when they do that, there's this harmonious sound that comes that's amazing, far beyond what we just heard a minute ago. So now it sounds like this. That's nice. You know, listen, I could do that for a long time. Comparing the two, I think, yeah, I'll always take this over that one. It's amazing that how all that comes together when you have the strings and the woodwinds and the bass and the percussion, and they all do what they're supposed to do, and they all do it together. It becomes this unique, and they're making their unique contribution to make beautiful music. Let me tell you, that's a picture of the church. See, we're not just to be like the warm-up, and I'm going to do my thing, you do your thing, and all this. No, but God wants the church. And as He gifted and has equipped each one of us individually, as we come together, we make this beautiful music together, this harmony that allows the God to be glorified and people's needs to be met and people's lives to be transformed. And that's what we get to do when we kind of realize how God has gifted us and how God has wired us. And then we discover, God, you've gifted me and you wired me in a particular way. How do I use my giftings and my wirings in order to further your kingdom and benefit the church? The Apostle Paul spoke something to this in the book of 1 Corinthians, and he said this, just as the body, though it's one body, well, he's using this physical body as a metaphor. He says, has many parts, all the many parts come together and form one. So it is one body, so it is with Christ. Just remind us, we're all different, but every part of the body has a contribution, and everybody that's in the body of Christ has a contribution. We're all put here for a purpose. I say that to a lot of people, and just talking to them about the Lord, and it boggles their mind. I don't know if anyone, and some people, I don't think they've ever been told that. You have a purpose. God's not done with you yet. You have a purpose. You have a contribution to make in this world today. You have a contribution more than taking up resources and breathing air. You've got a contribution. It's more than that. There's something going on here. We have a contribution, and God's designed each one of us to make a difference in our life, to make a difference. I don't know what that looks like. It's all different for everyone, that difference that me makes, but each of us makes a difference when we begin to serve in the body of Christ. No matter how much behind the scenes it is or how visible it is, there's a difference that's being made. You know what? There's a difference being made in someone that walks in here at 7 o'clock in the morning to make sure you have coffee when you show up at 10:30. All right? You know, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad someone thought about that? You know what that is? That's about first impressions. That's just to make sure that, you know what, we just wanted to have a nice aroma and a nice environment for you to come into, and you're needing a cup of coffee. All right, we got it. And we're going to go as far as saying our beans to come that here come from Costa Rica, and we're going to partner with missionaries. You see, it all comes back around. Every time we drink a cup of coffee out here, we're sending money to missionaries in Costa Rica. Oh, that's a little bit. So the people that made the coffee enabled you to do that. Actually, if you want to help with our coffee service, there's a sign up out there. In a minute, you can go out there and put your name on there and say, I'd like to help you make Costa Rica coffee. The habit of serving, God has a desire for each one of us. Actually, it becomes the expectation of Jesus. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 20. This is what Jesus reminds us of this. Whoever wants to become great among you, Matthew chapter 20, begin verse 26. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus is saying, I've come to be a servant. I didn't come for anyone to serve me, but I have come to be a servant. I want to take just a moment and describe for you a couple of things. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to end early this morning. And then what will allow you to do, I'm asking you to linger. Check out those ministry booths out there and opportunities. Talk to the staff, the volunteers that are staffing those tables. And say, is there a place for me, God, where you want me to serve? There's two things that we find in serving like Jesus and incorporating and helping us to develop the habit of serving. It's just the first thing, as simple as this, that we, to serve like Jesus and to have the habit of serving, we must be available. You ever thought about that? Just be available. It means, are you accessible? Are you open? Are you flexible? Be available. Here's a really awesome story that shows about Jesus' availability as he's our example. So it was a time that Jesus and his disciples were walking along down a road, and there was some men that were blind, and they call out to Jesus, Jesus, Lord, here, Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, have mercy on us, Son of David. And Jesus stopped, and he called them, and he said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, they said, open our eyes. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they could see, and they followed him. Did you get those two words? I think they stand out for me, and I want to stand them out for you. It's two words, and it's Jesus stopped. Did you notice that? Hey, you go back and read through the New Testament, and you read through the Gospels, and it's every time that there was a ministry need, Jesus is being interrupted. He's stopping to take care of somebody. He has an agenda. He's going somewhere. But then it says, oh, and he was interrupted, and he took care of business. He healed somebody. He took care of the lame. He took care of the sick. Basically, almost everything Jesus did and his miracles he did were interruptions. And he stopped to help people. I think this is what God is looking for you and me is, are we willing to be interrupted? Am I willing to let my life be interrupted from what I'm kind of the routine I've got already? And would I be willing to stop and do something that God is calling me to do? Here, I find oftentimes that I like to call interruptions opportunities. Interruptions are really just opportunities. And I believe we miss a lot of God's opportunities because we're not willing to be interrupted. Well, I've kind of got my routine. If I serve, does that mean I get to go to lunch late? If I serve, does that mean I have to come to Sunday more often? If I serve, does that mean, you know, you're going to require this of me? Does I have to miss my Sunday school class a few times a year or whatever it may be? Sometimes, you know, there's this interruption that needs to happen and we're unwilling to do that. We just need to be willing to stop. It's like the sign that I saw once over a church. This is a church in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And it was this little one sign over the church door, and it said this. There it is. Servant's entrance. It's the only way in and out of the church. I like that. You know what you're not going to find at South Haven? You won't find those words above our entrances, but I guarantee you, every one of them, in theory, says servant's entrance. Walk in. You're not going to find a door. You can't find a door in here. It says, I want to find the non-servant's door. It doesn't exist. There's an expectation. We desire for you to serve. And I think it's a part of being a healthy part of a body of Christ. It's like, God, you've wired me and you've gifted me in certain ways. And God, how am I being used to serve others? What does that look like? That's the first thing we find is, are you being available? Being available is just like, God, I'm willing to be interrupted. But there's a second thing we find the way Jesus serves, and it's this. It's just being faithful. Are you willing to be faithful? Jesus talked about his faithfulness, the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. And when Jesus says this in verse 4, he's actually reminding the Father of his faithfulness when he says these words in John 17, 4. He says, I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I've completed. I was faithful to do what you've called me to do, Father. I think God's asking us the same thing. I'd love to. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to say about your life, for you to save your life? I have completed, or I have done the work, God, you've called me to do. You know, someday you might already be there. You might already be retired from your vocation that you did for all your years. Or someday you're looking forward to that time of retirement. You may be making preparations for that right now. And that's wonderful, and that happens, and we're supposed to do that. But I just don't believe we should retire from serving. I think if you've got breath in your lungs and if you're still able and you're physically, you know what? There's a serving aspect is there. And actually, physically unable, my favorite story is a lady named Vera when I was pastoring in Arkansas many years ago, and I'd go see her in the nursing home. And every time I'd go see Vera in the nursing home, she was incapacitated and she was always bedridden. And I go in there and I walk in and I have a conversation with Vera. And always, here's what was going on with Vera. She had a pair of scissors. She had a stack of magazines and books and papers and stuff like that. And then she had this big cutouts of paper. And she was always apologetic. And I always have her, she would say, hey, Pastor. She goes, I'm just here again. And she said, I get all these magazines from the church, and I've got your sermon notes here, and I've got all this here, and I've got this here. And I find those good verses and those good stories and everything, and I cut them out. And I just start giving them away to all these nursing home workers. And do you know what they're doing, Pastor? She goes, I know, they're taking those things and they're making copies of them and they're giving them to their churches. That was one lady. She, you know what? I was in that church for almost 5 years. She never entered the door. But I want to tell you this, Vera was one of the better servants of that church. You see, it doesn't matter. That was faithful. God's called us to be faithful. I love this from 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I read it from the Message because it just said it so wonderfully. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. You can be confident. And when you do it in the name of Jesus, it's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of effort. God redeems that time. God uses that effort. God uses those things, and he brings them. And it's all about connecting people closer to him. That's how it happens when we serve. So as we draw near, here, we're about done. As you walk out there and you peruse those tables, you're going to see a lot of things out there. And I just say, go out there prayerfully and say, God, where would I belong? Where do you want me to serve? How do I connect? Here, I even got the question from some guests out of the first service. They said, I don't know if guests can serve in your church or not, but we kind of signed up for some stuff. I was like, okay, thanks. I kind of thought that was a good thing. I'm not going to get real hardcore on that, okay? If you want to help us further the kingdom of God and you haven't joined us yet, hopefully, you know, that's coming. Join us. Let's do it. Let me see. When you go out here and you hang a left, you go towards the children's area back there by the elevator, is our children's ministry area. I just want you to know, without apology, without any shame, we love children and children's ministry at South Haven. We love passing on the wisdom and the love of Jesus to the next generation. We love those parents, and we're always trying to do it better. Do we have, can we do it better? Absolutely. Are we trying? Absolutely. But are we wanting to do it the best we can? Absolutely. Are we want to invest in a generation that's coming behind us in order for them to understand who Jesus is and carry on a legacy of who Jesus is. Let me tell you something. I've got this in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10, I've got written in the margin of my Bible these words, the saddest verse in the Bible. I believe it's the saddest verse. Now, you might already identify a sad verse for you, but this one is for me. We can compare sad verses later and find out who's got the saddest. Here's the saddest verse in the Bible, Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and it's right after Joshua has died, and it says that the whole generation of Joshua were kind of gathered up with him. That means they all died as well. Here it says, and the whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors, and then it was after them. Another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel. It just devastates me. I've read that hundreds of times. And right now, I'm just like, wow. There was a generation that came up, and they didn't know God. And they didn't know the God things that had gone on. You think about all the things that God had done in the life of Israel. You think about everything and all that history that we have knowledge of. They didn't know. Someone didn't tell them. I'm going to tell you, we have a generation that's coming up behind us, and we're in a culture today that desperately needs, we need to shore up and strengthen and encourage and empower young minds and lives for Jesus. So I'm going to tell you, our children's ministry is going to get the resources, and it needs the help. And we're going to make it easy. We want to make it easy on you. Here, if you could give just a little bit of time, 52 Sundays a year. Here, you know what? When you go out there and you see that ministry card, this ministry card coming up, these are all on all the tables, these cards right here, and it just identifies the ministry and opportunities to get involved. When you put your information there, check off a few boxes, what happens? It goes to a ministry leader. They compile the information. They're going to contact you about, you know, how can we plug you in and begin the process. When you go out to the children's desk, you're going to find that there is a commitment of 5 days a year. That's the craziest thing. Well, what if 20 of you want to do 5 days a year? That'd be pretty awesome. What does that mean? You'd be contacted. You'd be given the Sunday when you're supposed to arrive. You'd be partnered with some other leadership within there, and you would be a spiritual adult in the midst of a room helping children in some capacity. You know what that is? That's tithing your Sundays right there. 10% of your 52. You say, I've got a little bit more time. I could invest in your children's ministry, in the children's ministry. You have got 2 months. We got 2 month increments, 3, 4, 6, even 12. How much could you give in order to invest in the next generation to come? I honestly believe that out of children's ministry, you know, really coming some of the most dynamic Christian leaders that we have yet to see. And it very well could be that the children that are a part of our children's ministry, that God is just going to use in an incredible capacity in the workforce, in the marketplace, or in our pulpits someday. You never know. Missionaries, you never know. Check out the children's ministry. I want you to check out the prayer ministry. As you walk right out of here, hang a quick left. You know, we're really trying to take seriously what Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. Do you realize that every morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30, right here at these front pews, right here, 10 minutes before the hour, 10 minutes before 9, and also at 10:20, there are individuals, and they're just sitting there, they're praying. Maybe you'd like to come and join them. And they're just praying for the day's service. They're praying for you, they're praying for me, they're praying for this church. They're just in there praying. Maybe you just want to come and say, I want to be a part of that, and just jump right in there and pray with them. We have a Wednesday night prayer meeting that meets in our classrooms right down here in the 130 hallway. Just pray. 6:30 on Wednesday nights. Do you know what I have? There's a group that prays upstairs every Sunday morning starting at 8 o'clock. Maybe you're here at 8 o'clock. Maybe you didn't know that happened. At 8 o'clock, they begin to pray. They pray for, they're just praying. They're praying for this church. They're praying for the services. I walk in there. Here's one of the highlights. I get to walk into that room. I walk into that room at 8:30, and I sit in a chair, and they gather around me, lay hands on me, and pray over me for this day. It's precious. I want you to know here, June 2nd, we're coming. We're going to talk about the habit of prayer. And we're going to bring some things before you that I believe will empower you, encourage you, and help you develop your prayer life, but at the same time, move South Haven along to become the house of prayer that Jesus has called us to be.
Thanks for listening to our message from South Haven Church. If something from this message stuck out to you, you have a question or need prayer, please email our South Haven pastoral leaders at hope@southhavenchurch.org. South Haven Church exists for the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at southhavenchurch.org or join us in person at our main campus located at 16,800 Bellray Boulevard in Belton, Missouri. Till next time.